Hey everybody, welcome back to the Women in Worship podcast with Lee and Bethany. Today we have the amazing Lisa Bevere with us. It feels like we've been waiting on this podcast forever and it did not disappoint. So ladies, listen up. If you want to know how to walk in your God-given authority and how God has made you, you need to listen to this. Take notes, do whatever you have to do. Attach everything she says to scripture. Well, she does that for you. But listen, this is something that we need. Let it be a marker in your life that you will not be the same after you listen to this. In Jesus' name. All right, guys, check it out. Today, we have a special guest, and I just believe it's God ordained. We really do. And we want to welcome Miss Lisa Bevere to the podcast today. So welcome, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love it that whenever I'm with my Southern sisters, I get to be Miss Lisa Bevere. I receive it and I'm so excited to be with you guys. And I love what you're doing and I love why you're doing it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. It is an honor to have you. And like we just prayed before we even started the call, we believe you're a general in the faith. Yeah. We look up to you. You've blessed so many people and there is an anointing on you that honestly, I want to just marinate in it, you know, but you're such a voice for the women in the kingdom of God. And not only the women, I think it translates to our guy friends because we love the men and we want to work alongside of them. Yep. And so, but you are someone, let's get started. You are someone that we believe walks in such confidence, but the authority that God has given you. And I know that that's probably been a journey through situations and circumstances in your life. But we just wanted you to speak to that. You know, how do you do that? How did you come about like learning about your authority that God has given you to walk into life situations when you're up there preaching? I'm sure you've had times that were like, I don't want to get on that stage. Like, I don't maybe feel like it. So could you just speak to our women and encourage our community on what it is and what it means to walk in the authority that God has given you?
Well, first of all, I love that. And I believe that our authority comes from God. Mm-hmm. I believe that the enemy doesn't have authority over us except for the authority we yield. And I remember, again, John and I have been married for 41 years. So I want to say this was when we were married about 4 years. I remember a guy pulled me aside, this old saint, and John was leaving where we were in Dallas, Texas to become a youth pastor. And he pulled me aside. He said, I have a word for you and your husband. He said, if John does not walk in his God-given authority, someone else is going to take it from him and use it against him. Mm. And I was like, wait a minute, like, what does that even look like? What is my God-given authority? And the truth is that all authority comes from God, but we've seen authority misused. So we have to go all the way back to Genesis, where God said, hey, this is what's going on. I'm going to give you something called dominion. And dominion is the power to use your authority on behalf of others. So dominion means I'm going to use whatever is on my life to lift, protect, encourage, and resource what is on the lives of other people. But we all know there was something crazy that happened. It's called the fall. And when the fall happened, dominion turned into its fallen form of domination. Influence for the women turned into its fallen form of manipulation. Order turned into chaos and multiplication turned into division. And what I see that we seem to forget a lot in our church conversations is we're not under the fall anymore. Like the truth is that Jesus came to, and people always say, seek and save the lost. Well, that's true, but that's not the right wording. It actually said that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And so when you look at this world right now, you say, where have we suffered loss? We see a loss between, of course, broken relationship between the sons and daughters and their father, Heavenly Father. We see a loss between the races. I mean, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I believe that that is all part of the fall. There is a break between brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, husbands and wife, parents and children, and people and the earth. And so you and I have authority to recover what's been lost. And I feel like there are things that the men have authority and voice into. And I think there are things that women have authority and voice into. And, you know, I know a lot of the teaching that, hallelujah, every single week, people are like, does she know about Timothy? Does she know about Prince? I mean, I'm like, what? I've never seen those scriptures. Every single week. But here's the thing. They're like, no, the woman's to be silent. She's the one that caused the fall. Well, actually, first of all, that's not scripturally correct.
Right.
The New Testament says through one man's disobedience and through one man's obedience. And so, yes, Eve influenced, but the fall didn't happen until Adam ate. So people are like, well, see, we're not going to listen to Eve anymore. She can't have a voice. But the truth is, it isn't about Adam silencing Eve or Eve silencing Adam. It's about both male and female using their voice on the serpent and saying, it is written. It is written. And there's a lot of people who want authority, but don't want to be under authority.
Yes.
Can I tell you, first 4 years of my marriage, that's what I wanted. I was like, listen, I have decided that you should be the husband I think you should be. So I've got some ideas about how you should behave, how you should lead me. If you lead me the way I want to be led, then I will submit to your authority. If you do not, then I will fight you. I will fight you with every single thing. I was not a good wife. I did not bring out the best in my husband. I actually criticized. I nagged. I was so used to seeing fear modeled in a relationship. My parents were divorced not once, but twice. They were like, let's do this when our daughter's in junior high. And then again, when our son's in junior high. I mean, it was like this broken family. And when you actually are raised in a family where you're like, I don't want to do that, that's not enough. You got to know what you do want to do. And so John and I started having conversations where I realized that I wanted the benefits of his leadership, but I didn't like the fact that I had to submit. Now, the truth is we submit to people we are building with. I don't submit to every single man on the face of the earth. My husband is willing to give his life for me so I can submit to him. Mm. But submission means under assignment. You actually work with the people that you have the authority to build with.
That's really good.
Authority, again, I think we need to define this, is for direction, protection, and provision. It's not for control. And authority that is healthy does not serve itself. It serves others. And so again, we have a whole generation wanting to deconstruct authority, but God always works through authority systems. And so if you want to deconstruct and you don't have a heart for reconstruction, you're just an agent of destruction. So you have to go all the way back to say, yeah, this is unhealthy. Let's rebuild it in a healthy matter. And God, for some reason, thinks a family is the best way of looking at it. So I am in our family, it's just John and I playing Monopoly Deal and talking about scriptures. Now I don't have to have authority over anyone. I'm just in charge of myself. And we're just trying to stay up until 9 o'clock at night because we're like, we can't go to bed at 8:30. This is what old people do. We cannot do that. having a realm of influence means I have to be under the authority of the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's people that say, well, if you're preaching, you're exercising authority. No, if you're preaching, you're serving the body.
Yes.
I'm coming under the authority of a pastor who says, come and minister. And then I serve the body. I'm not doing church discipline. I'm not appointing elders. I am serving, I am preaching. And then there's people that are like, well, what about this? And what about that? And the early church, well, you know, I've had people go as far as to say a woman in the pulpit, and referring to me, a woman in the pulpit with the name of Jesus in her mouth is a witch. And I'm like, so what you're saying is my gender is more powerful than the name of Jesus.
Right. And
let's all be honest. Pulpits didn't even come into play.
Right.
Thousand years after the church started. So this, it's not this magical wooden or lucite stand that all of a sudden when a woman gets behind there, sin, that's just nonsense. And we just don't seem to, like, even when we're talking in Timothy about head coverings and, you know, is it not a shame for a man to have long hair, you know? And I'm like, actually, no, Jesus had long hair. John the Baptist had long hair. We were pretty sure that Samson had long hair until it got cut. We have Absalom who weighed his hair. So it was a shame in the Greek culture
right.
for men to have long hair, but it's not a shame in the Jewish culture. So for somehow the women have to have head coverings, but they haven't transferred the rest of those cultural dynamics. And, you know, and again, didn't Paul say it's a sin for women to preach? Actually, he said, I personally do not suffer a woman to preach or teach or have authority mm-hmm. over a man, which was about the culture at that time. He didn't say God does not permit a woman to preach or teach. If he said that, there'd be a little bit of a difference.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think too, to that point, it's really interesting. I love that you brought out the fact that a lot of times we pick and choose the cultural context with which we'll decide to bring into play. And we'll end up, I want to say, because I also give everybody the benefit of the doubt, right? So if you're listening and your church leadership kind of flows in this land, always giving the benefit of the doubt and thinking the best of people before you think the worst. But a lot of times,
obey scripture. They're not trying to be mean. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's as a female that navigates some of this regularly. I think number one, it's important to have that mentality of making sure that we aren't, I know it's a severe word, but we're not demonizing our leadership because they do have different viewpoints or they do try to.
Right.
But also at the same time, as a female, I love that you're bringing this out, but you're also bringing scripture to support it. I think it's so important for us to know. So if you're listening, for us to know what our scriptures, what our Bibles mm-hmm. do say, what the cultural context was in that time, so that just as Paul tells us, you'll be ready in season and out of season for this conversation, not just for yourself, but for those young women that are under you or that are around you that are watching you navigate this. Right. So how, taking a little bit of a turn, kind of a spin off of that, how would you encourage someone that is kind of navigating this and possibly doing that well? Maybe it's not necessarily feeling like a drag, but how would you say for those women to encourage the ones under them, kind of that Elizabeth to Mary scenario? How would you encourage them to say, hey, these are great tools or ways or even demonstrations of discipleship of how to be a female in some type of leadership way?
Well, I think making sure you understand you're there to serve.
Yeah.
And understand that what we actually have the privilege of ministering needs to come out of a heart that's pure. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes what's happened is because women I'll say the way my husband said it to me. My husband sat me down and he said, because first of all, I opted out. I was like, nope. I only do women's meetings. I don't believe in women, you know, women speaking to men because, guys, I didn't want to do it. I told John, if I do a Sunday morning and I say something in the wrong tone or the wrong manner, or maybe I just had a bad day, I'm a Jezebel. If you have the same experience, right. People just say, well, that wasn't John's best message. I said, I do not want to be under that kind of judgment. I just don't want to do it. So I had a pastor who said, you know, hey, very much Baptist mindset of five aspects of womanhood, women, you know, women are to be silent in the church. And I was like, awesome. I will do all of that. But then what happened was God started opening doors for me to walk through. And I was like, I don't want to do this. And John sat down with me and he said, Lisa, a healthy family has the voice of a father and a voice of a mother. Yes. Not the voice of a mother trying to sound like a father or the voice of a father trying to sound like a mother. And he said, I sit under some women ministers and they're so soft that they make me feel safe, but I don't feel challenged. Mm-hmm. Then he said, I sit under some other ones where I feel challenged, but I actually feel like unsafe. And he said, you're going to have to navigate how to challenge and yet make men feel safe. And he said, you're the mother of four men. You actually do this every single day. And so we need to actually understand that God gifts women to act like women. Now, I don't know if y'all are seeing the craziness going on right now in our world. I don't know if you know that the UN just recommended decriminalizing sex with minors.
They did.
So every time I think, okay, people are going to be like, okay, y'all have lost your minds. What is going on? Well, let's think about this. Jesus is not coming back for a church. He's coming back for a bride. And so the enemy is distorting every imagery that has femininity, that has purity of marriage, of longing, a time period of instant gratification, the distortion of beauty right now, where I'm looking at even beautiful young girls that they're not beautiful enough. They've got to do crazy things where they almost look like aliens. And I remember years and years ago when I was writing my book on eating disorders, I asked God, I said, what is going on? And he said to me, Lisa, the goal of a fallen culture is to be sexually desirable because they burn with lust in them. And we are looking at the distortion where we've got our culture sexualizing what it means to be a woman and the church silencing its daughters' voices. And we've got people blaming unhealthy patriarchy, feminism, politics, abuse, marginalization, erasure. They, you know, we go through this long list of, well, it's this and it's that and it's this and it's that. But the truth is we have a dragon in the shadows.
Yeah,
we have something that happened between a woman and a serpent in the garden that now in the book of Revelations, it says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman. And then it goes on to say, and went to make war with her children. See, the enemy knows that women partner with God to bring forth life. And so he's after women, because if he can get the women, he gets the children. And, you know, I'm watching all my sisters like, yes, yes, everybody can be a woman, or just the horrific silence. Now, I get it, that they don't want to be part of the angry conservatives or the angry liberals, but we better be the loving truth tellers standing in the middle saying, hey, when you mess with gender, you mess with the image of God. When you say that you can blur these, or when you tell people that they're a mistake, actually what you're saying is God made a mistake. And so when we actually deny the fact that we were woven with fearsome wonder and begin to think, I was woven as a mistake, or my DNA doesn't matter. This is a crazy world. And so the women need to stop buying into the lie of the feminists that to be powerful as women, we act like men. And we need to figure out what it is to be a powerful woman. And being a powerful woman is a woman under the authority of the word of God, under the authority of her local church, under the authority of her husband. But that doesn't mean control. That means blessing. That means empowerment. That means I come to my husband. And this is how it happened for me. John was like, you need to preach. I'm like, you need to preach. I am not going out there. You're the youth pastor. I'm not on the payroll. I'm a television producer. I'm not doing this. And John would be like, you know what? You're not your own. Mm-hmm. Lot with the price. These young teenage girls need to see a 27-year-old mother of one child. They need to have you get up and pour into them. And I was like, well, if you ask me to get up, I'm going to go out the back door. And he would be like, you just need to be ready. And John forced me to move beyond my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my self-consciousness. You guys, I've got one eye. I lost an eye to cancer when I was 5. Idea of getting up in front of a crowd sounded like a nightmare. Everything I have done under the authority of going to all the world and preach the gospel. Mm-hmm, I have the authority that I was bought with a price, and my life that I live is no longer my own. Of Romans 12, 2, present your body, present your life, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Not just if I'm a male, but mm-hmm. if I'm anyone. And just saying, God, whatever you want to do, I'm here for it. I want to mm-hmm. be under authority, having authority. And God never would have given women a voice if he didn't want them to use it.
Yes. Sorry, I just keep jumping in. Lee, do you have anything? I'm mutter mouthing
everything. I kind of opened up everything right now. So.
No, Lisa, you're speaking my language. I'm sitting here just like, yes, and yes, and yes.
No, go ahead, Bethany. You said, I'm sitting over here taking notes because I'm that person. But you said to be powerful as a woman, you don't have to act like a man. Mm-hmm. And I literally wanted to flip the table that I'm sitting at right now. If I could tell you, mm-hmm. I had a guy, and love him to death, dear friend. We partner together in ministry very often. And, but I, unintentionally about 5 or 6 years ago, and I didn't even catch it because I'd heard it my whole life. As we were talking through what we were about to do and the whole thing, he mentioned with another friend in the room who was a male, said, we love partnering with you because you don't act like a girl. And I didn't even really think about it because chances are I really kind of don't. I don't wear girly colors. I don't into girly.
She's not girly. I'm not girly.
I'm not girly.
In the cultural sense.
I have on red lips for you because if I didn't, I'd look like a ghost in this white room. But I didn't catch it. And the following week, the opposite gentleman that was sitting in the room called me and said, hey, I've been sitting on this all week, but I had to call and tell you this. And he said, I don't feel that way.
Oh.
Number one, he said, but I want you to know that I think what he was trying to do was come back around because I think he thought I was probably holding on to what he was holding on to. But that was the first time in ministry, and I've done this for 20 years, and that was, again, 5 or 6 years ago, that anyone had looked at me and said, it's okay to be what God has created you to be in the context of a multifaceted room and bring all that to the table because that's why you're in the room. So I think sometimes we forget
we
the
need
power.
Them. Yes, women.
Yes, yes. Well, we forget the power of that and needing. It's okay not necessarily to need to hear it, but as a female, it's okay to hear that and mm-hmm. go, you know what? Sometimes I do need a little bit of a pep talk and a reminder that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I it is a good and pleasing thing to partner together with the whole body of Christ for it to be a mother and a father voice.
100%. You guys are too young to know this, but I wrote a book in 2005. I think it came out in 2006 called Fight Like a Girl, The Power of Being a Woman. And my whole premise was when somebody uses you fight like a girl as an insult, that's because usually it's attributing things that actually God does not attribute to women. So pinching, fighting, being underhanded, slandering, you know, saying one thing, meaning another, those kind of things, that is never how God created women to behave. And so I went on a journey to say, what would it look like if fighting like a girl was a compliment rather than an insult? And do you want to hear something really scary? In 2005, I wrote in this book, I said, if the church does not begin to honor masculine and feminine, mm-hmm. okay, I said, our culture is going to respond by blending the genders into an androgynous mix.
And that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And here we are, because I said, because what's happened, instead of celebrating the differences in biological sex, I actually like that word better. Instead of celebrating the differences, we have attacked one another's weaknesses rather than celebrated mm-hmm. one another's strengths. Mm-hmm. And men tend to be experts in women's weaknesses. Women tend to be experts in men's weaknesses, but that is not how allies ask. Yeah. Allies act where I say, John, I love your visionary. I love your decisiveness. I love this. I love A, B, and C, D about you. Then what do I do? Well, at the same time, I need to be heard as far as timing goes. I need to be able to ask you some of these questions and say, in light of this. And so John and I have learned that if one of us feels one way really strong and the other one doesn't feel that way, we need to step back and reassess. We mm-hmm. always say hard no. Now there can be soft no's, but we always say a hard no for one is a hard no for both. And that is in our home and that is in leadership. But I speak to my husband's strengths. He speaks to my strengths rather than attack one another's weaknesses. Mm. You know, we believe in counseling, but we don't believe in excuses. We don't when I was two, somebody didn't change my diaper for 10 hours. And, you know, now I'm triggered when somebody, I'm like, take those triggers to the foot of the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going on? Let God heal you, because God wants to heal you and he wants to anoint you, because there are people out there so confused, and the church is either quiet or it's attacking the captives. Like you hear it in the language. You don't, they attack the, you know, oh, this community or that community or those mm-hmm. liberals, that, instead of saying, all right, what is really going on? Because there's something way deeper behind all of these things. Mm-hmm. Yes, all of these things. Yeah. And I feel like I can tell you guys this crazy thing. I'm writing a book right now, and it was so hard for me to find a way to address these things without being binary, without saying, well, either you need to be conservative or liberal, or you need to be Republican or Democrat, or you need to be, you know, pro-women, anti, I don't know. I was like, I need to. And the crazy thing is, I had a dream back in 2016. Now, I have certain dreams that I remember forever. And then I have dreams that I remember until I've drank my coffee and they're gone. Okay, so like, mm-hmm. those aren't the dreams that I would ever talk about again. Well, I was getting ready to minister in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I was in a deep sleep. I can't even tell you how exciting it is for me to sleep in a king-size bed by myself with somebody who doesn't snore. So anyway, I sleep super deep. And I know it's like, oh, I'm like, oh, this is me in hotel rooms. Thank you, Jesus.
Same.
I give your angels charge of my room.
Yes.
When I get in and it's comfortable, I'm like, yeah, Jesus. I lay down on my side. It doesn't look like anybody. I mean, I don't move. I lay on my side. I sleep. I'm asleep within 5 minutes. I'm like super, super sleeper. My daughter-in-laws, they all fight about who's going to sleep with me when we travel, because I don't move, which is really weird. But anyway, because I would never have slept with my mother-in-law. But so I am in a deep sleep and I have this dream and I'm in a green room. I don't know any of the people, but in the dream, I knew I was in a green room and there were beautiful women. It was only women. Beautiful women, I would say anywhere from their 20s to maybe their 40s. And they were all walking around beautifully dressed, talking with one another, levels of confidence in their bearing, ease of conversation. I walk into the room and I notice that all of the women are carrying a baby dragon. Mm. And I'm like, what is going on here? And the dragons are dressed up. They're dressed up. Have you ever seen like people that dress up their dogs? Like Porky in children's clothing. Okay. These dragons were dressed up in children's clothing and you couldn't see their wings. You couldn't see their claws. All I saw was the neck and the heads of the dragons. And I was alarmed. I went from person to person. I'm like, do you understand what you're carrying? You're carrying a dragon. And they're like, no, these are the harmless kind. And they were like petting them. And again, like it was like the dragon's heads, they were small. Their heads were like here. And the dragons were all side-eyeing me like, we know you know that we're evil. And I was like, what in the world? And in the dream, a woman who had a dragon with a ruffled collar on it, I'm like, what in the world? She's like, isn't it cute? And she said, do you want to hold it? And she pushed it my way. And here's what I did. I reached out, I grabbed it by the neck, and I broke its neck. And in my dream, that was so violent that I woke up on my back in a dark hotel room, and my hands in my sleep, I had flipped on my back, grabbed something and flipped it like that. Wow. And woke up with my arms like this shaking. And I thought, what was that? I thought, well, you know, if you have a weird dream, you send it to Bethel. You send it to Bethel. Bethel will tell you. So I typed the whole dream. I sent it to the Bethel people. I'm like, okay, guys, this is what I had. They're like, we got nothing. And I'm like, really? I feel like there's something here. And I went from that meeting to my next meeting. And I got up that day. And for the very first time, I said, you guys are called to be bedside to the world, but instead you are in bed with the world. Wow. I said, you guys are taking pictures with celebrities as though they have something to offer and validate you, when you are the one that has the Holy Scripture and the anointing of God. And I mean, I said, hey, when you make yourself a friend with the world, not a friend to, right, but a friend with the world, you made yourself an enemy of God. And I remember everybody's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Who is this person? Why is she so intense? Because I realized in my dream, I realized that these dragons were pet sins, that they were things that people made excuses for, things that people fed, people accessorizing these things with the power to destroy them. So that dream was in 2016. I thought, okay, hallelujah. I wrote a book called Adamant. I hit some things strong. I thought, okay, I'm done. Well, then I start writing this book and God brings up Revelations 12. Mm-hmm. And then the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he said, it was a grave mistake for the body of Christ to believe that dragons, because they're unseen, they're not real. And he said, this is a spiritual battle against the women, and ultimately all those who love God and keep his commandments. The enemy is going crazy. And I'm going to close with this story. We have a friend, he's a brilliant leadership communicator. He's been at Church of the Highlands a couple of times, and he told a story about how in the Everglades, they're just overrun with pythons. And so they will let you go out and catch a python and they'll pay you for it, which I'm like, let somebody else do it. And he was saying that you have to do it at night, and one person grabs the python by the tail, and then the other person stands in front of the python in snake boots, and the python knows it's caught. So it just hits the person's foot, and the python will actually knock itself unconscious in its craziness, which is exactly kind of the imagery I see about Satan knows his time is short.
Yep.
Yeah.
And right now, I feel like women need to remember the purpose they were created to take what was not good and make it so very, very good, that we need to multiply what is on the men, not divide, not say it's our turn now. God never deals with terms. He deals with times.
Yes.
And we are in Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Mm-hmm. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And he says, my men servants, my maid servants. He makes a very clear distinction. And then he goes all the way down. There's going to be signs. There's going to be wonders. And then he says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so this is where we are right now. We're in desperate times. We need to stop being silly about arguing. And we need to take our authority in the spirit. I had an incredible opportunity a couple of weeks ago. You're talking about authority in the spirit. The authority comes with the word. God's like, my word is what I will watch over. God says, close to my word be that goes out of my, he said, it will not return to me void. So we need to speak the word, because that is echoing it back to God. So I'm at a prayer meeting, and I was without my husband. I really felt like we were supposed to go to the prayer meeting. And John was like, I have pickleball. I'm like, oh my gosh. So
I love pickleball. Lisa,
priorities.
He was like, I give you my authority. You go. Oh my gosh. So I'm the only husbandless wife there. And there was one woman, but she brought her daughter. And there was a lot of men there without their wives. I'm like, okay. So I rolled myself to a quick exit to the door. And this man comes in. I don't know who he is. And he starts saying, I've kicked over a hornet's nest. And he said, my family's under attack. My children are under attack. Their health is under attack. My finances, our reputation. He starts going. And I watched, again, I don't know who this guy is from Adam. And I watched some people come over, and they kind of put their hands on him, and they pray a prayer that sounded like they were praying for someone to go to sleep at night. Mm. They were like, Jesus, we just thank you for protecting marriage, his family, his kids. It was like, that's how I prayed for my kids when I wanted them just to stop and go to sleep.
Lay down.
And I waited. I'm like, somebody's going to pray strong. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to pray strong. And then nobody was going to do anything. And I started shaking. And all of a sudden, his name was Andy. And I said, Andy, I'm going to put a sword in your hands. Everybody's like, by the door. And I said, Numbers 23, verse 19 through verse 23. And I read the scripture out loud. I said, there is no divination against Israel. There is no witchcraft against Jacob. And he's like, the guy puts his hand over his hand, starts weeping. Well, it was Thursday night. And the next morning, Jesus Revolution movie launched. Mm. I told him, I said, I see people getting saved in the theater. He was the producer of the movie theater. I mean, of the movie,
wow.
Revolution. And I was like, ah! And he said, I see people standing up. And everybody was like, why did this just get so loud? And somebody was like, are you Italian? I'm like, yes, I'm Italian. But it wasn't about that. Right. It was about when you are in battle, you put sword in people's hands. And the sword of God's word is what carries the authority. All we do is, put it in the hands of other people. And it's so crazy, because he was like, I wasn't going to come tonight because I've just been under so much. And I told my wife, I heard Lisa Vivier RSVP'd for the prayer meeting. And she said, then you better go. No idea. But see, I could have thought, well, I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
The men had all prayed over him. Very sweet prayers. I was like, why am I not that sweet? But I had been in South Africa. I told Andy this afterwards. I said, I was getting ready to preach in South Africa, and one of the most technologically advanced churches. I don't think I've ever even been to a church this advanced in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Church of the Highlands is now, but I mean, they were operating everything off a laptop. And I was in my room getting ready to prepare. And God said, when you get up, read Numbers 23, verses 19 through 20. And I thought, that has nothing to do with what I'm reading, John. But I copied and pasted it into my iPad. And there was this beautiful time of praise and worship, and then an item, and then the first speaker, and then a break. Everyone went to the bathroom. They bought stuff. They all came back in. There was another praise and worship. Then there was another item. Then they introduced me. And guess what? All the power went out in the building. Mm. And I got up and I said, I can yell in the dark. It happened before I got done with those scriptures. The lights all went back on. And my guy that was hosting me, the beautiful Indian man who had been my driver, said two witches ran out of the building.
Wow.
Through the lobby. And he said, I heard you yelling. Because see, we're supposed to be innocent of what is evil and excellent of what is good. That means I speak what my father says, and that is where the authority is.
That's
so
right. Yes. That's right.
And also, last thing, Jesus didn't speak as the Pharisees, but he spoke as one who had authority.
Yes.
So we don't say it like it's a question mark. We say it like it's a declaration of God's goodness and faith.
That's right. That's right. Wow. Lord, I'm about to run around this room taking some laps.
Oh, I'm at the church right now, so if I get the flags out in the back, nobody's seeing anything.
And I would just like to say thank you so much, because your intenseness in the spirit is how I feel all the time. And I have to feel like I back it's almost like the question of, do I back down? Because I'm like, I really feel like this is the way God has made me. And when I feel like God is telling me, because Jesus didn't do anything unless he heard the Father say it or saw the Father do it. He mm-hmm. lived in that authority. And I was like, God, I just feel the Holy Spirit. And I have to sometimes go, calm down. But like, even with your stories, it encourages me to go, no, 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 no. Like, the words that come out of our mouth is a sword. It's a sword of the Spirit. And it is going to cut through the darkness, and the light will be there. Yep. Because that is the authority that God has given us. Yeah. And so, anyway, just thank you for your intenseness in the Spirit.
listen, this is embarrassing but true. We had someone come in and do a profile on all of us because we want to grow. We want to finish well. We want to empower the next generation well. And the guy lined us up and said, "We're gonna line you up from the least intense to the most intense." And you know, I'm just gonna say, not everybody is honest on their tests, which I feel like I am. I test the most intense. I'm like, what? How is John testing lower than me? And then I was like hot flashing. I was like, oh my gosh, so embarrassing. And I'm lined up in front of my entire team. Most intense, Lisa. Then goes down, and I couldn't wait to go sit down. But he said, "Wait, you stay up." And I'm like, oh my gosh, what other level did I test the most at? He said, you also test the highest in nurture.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he said, I've never had somebody who tested high in intensity that tested high in nurture. He said, who are you? And I said, I'm a fight for. Mm-hmm. He said, people that are highly intense, they just fight. He said, your number one motivation is protector.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. I said, yeah. So like a mama bear robbed of its cubs, like a lioness, mm-hmm. I'll tear your heart out. And that, I don't know if that's just who God made me for this time. There are a lot of sweet people who talk softly, and they are important. And there are people that will only hear from them. But then there are other people that need to have your voice, Bethany, and yeah. your voice, Lee, needs you to say it with clarity and strength. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, the next generation, the millennials, according to history, are the hero generation, and they need to have prophets speak into their life.
Yes.
Strength, and it's time to armor up.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow. Amen to that. Hey, Lisa, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for being with us. But would you mind just saying a quick, just set all this in motion, like what they've heard, such powerful things. Go for it.
Father, I just thank you that your Holy Spirit weaves each of us uniquely for your glory. And so, Father, I give my beautiful sisters and daughters in the Spirit permission mm-hmm. to be fully who you created them to be. Father, I thank you as they read your word, the word would be quickened and alive within them. And so, Father, I thank you that you give them boldness and authority, that they are under authority, having authority. And Father, I thank you that you're planting them in the houses of God where they can flourish and they can live in such a way where people are compelled to invite them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, hello everyone. Not much left to say after that. Man, Lisa's prayer just wrapped it up so beautifully. So, guys, make sure that you share this episode. This is one that we really want to get out there because we know that this is needed very much right now in the body of Christ. All those ladies, all your friends, share it, share it, share it. Hey, send it to some guys. They might need to hear it too. But all right, guys, we bless you. We thank you for listening and thank you for being a part of this community. Check us out on Instagram. Leave us a message and comment what you thought of the episode. So, all right, see you next time.